Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy with you once again on a Sunday afternoon. Really quickly, if you are looking for some wrestling today, AML happening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina today, featuring the Gift, Jason Kincaid. We have up in our neck of the woods in Astoria, Oregon, TNPW, and at the North Portland Eagles. Is the first time we're going to see how this works out. NWA Blue Collar and DOA running a joint promotion today. So two promotions for the price of one at the North Portland Eagles today. So get out there, support your local professional wrestling wherever you might find it. Now today we are talking big men of professional wrestling. The big men have been a staple in this industry since the inception of professional wrestling. We've had legendary large competitors such as Haystacks Calhoun. You've had the twins, the Humphrey twins. You've had Sid Vicious. You've had Danny Spivey, The Undertaker, Don Leo Jonathan, Andre the Giant, so many legendary big men. It's such a vital part of professional wrestling. And we have with us today two men that would be considered heavyweights on any card they are on. Not to say they are overly large by any means, but they are definitely heavyweight competitors. I would like to introduce now those gentlemen with us, Chief Attacula Kula and Stompin' Steve. And gentlemen, why don't we start off with, if you would, kind of introduce yourself a bit and maybe give a couple of your dimensions that would prove that you are, in fact, one of the big men in pro wrestling. We'll start years in the business, so Chief Attacula Kula, that would be you.
Hey, Sign Guy. Well, I'm not overly tall, I wouldn't say, in terms of the business. I'm only 6'1", but I weigh 335 pounds, so definitely puts me in the heavyweight or super heavyweight category, I think, especially on the indie circuit these days when we got guys as small as like 150 out there. So
that is true. Now, Stompin' Steve?
Yes, I've been in the business about 4 years now, a little over, and I'm 6'7", and right now my weight's close to 400, and I'm trying to bring it back down. Big guys in the business, you know, like some of my favorites, like I was going to say, was like Big Boss Man Ray Traylor. He was like 6'6", but he can move. He could really move for a big man. So if I wish I could move half as fast as he could, so.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chief.
I was saying guys like Vader, you know, Vader, 400-pounder most of his career, very agile. Jerry Blackwell, you can go back to the 80s, Crusher Blackwell. I mean, you know, he maybe wasn't the fastest guy, but he was actually pretty agile and used to hit drop kicks and stuff. So, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, Chief, you yourself, extremely agile and very quick for a man of your size. Were people like Crusher Blackwell and Vader people that you watch to kind of see how they move so you can incorporate that into what you do?
Yeah, you know, even though I was, you know, I started in 86, I've been in the business almost 30 years now, but so I was around actually when Vader was getting into the business, you know, when the AWA in like 87, 88, when he started as Baby Bull Leon White there. But yeah, even later on, you know, I was already in the business. But, you know, when I saw guys like Vader, I mean, I'm not as agile as he. You know, I mean, I before I blew out both my knees a couple years ago, I used to go off the top rope and all that. I used to throw a drop kick here and there, but, you know, I wasn't doing moonsaults or anything like he was. So I definitely wouldn't put myself in the category of being that agile. But, yeah, I never even really thought myself as being very speedy for how big I am until last year, you know, when I was working out there and Kevin Sullivan told me that I moved around very well for a guy my size and age. And then I did his radio show a while back, and we kind of talked about this same topic. We didn't really, the show wasn't about this topic. You know, he was just interviewing me, but we kind of went in. Kevin's very much a size matters guy. You know, even though he said on his show he wasn't the biggest guy because he's not, you know, he's not tall. Back in his days when he you know, was working out all the time when he was younger, he was very wide and fairly heavy. But yeah, he's definitely, you know, when he was a booker and even now, he's a big men matter type thing because he thinks fans still want to see larger than life people. You know, his attitude is they don't want to just see guys that look like you know, guys you work with at work, or you know, or, and he believes that you don't people in the crowd shouldn't be able to look at a guy and say, oh, you know, I could kick that guy's ass.
That is true. Now, Stump and Steve, you have a very different style than what Chief does. You're much more power moves and more of a traditional big man style. Did you have a particular person that you try to emulate style-wise that was similar to you in stature, or did you just kind of develop that based upon what your size and what your comfortable in the ring skills were?
A little bit of both. I mean, I have a mix of a few people that I look at, and you know, I'm nowhere near to their level. I mean, not even in the, you know, in the same ballpark, but it, you know, I, you know, like the choke slam Undertaker, Kane, you know, and of course those guys weren't the only ones to ever do that. But, you know, even like I said, the Big Boss Man, people like that, you know, Abyss even, you know. Just a mixture of like, you know, a sidewalk slam. My stuff's pretty basic.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a psychology to being a big man, and I see so many matches. I actually watched one this morning, it was a smaller guy, like 180, against a guy who was over 300 pounds, and the psychology, and it was terrible. Like, it took the little guy, it took the big guy actually 3 clotheslines to get the little guy down, and then the little guy actually challenged the big man to a test of strength, which I didn't get at all, because why would a 180-pound guy want to challenge a 300-plus-pound guy to a test of strength, especially a guy who's not, you know, not, like, overly, you know, muscular either, you know?
Right.
And the big man let him do it. I myself, if I would have been there, it wouldn't have happened. if a little guy like that challenged me to a test of strength, you know, well, first of all, it doesn't make any sense for the little guy to do it. but I definitely would have took him down right away, you know. It was a weird match too, because the little guy was supposed to be the face, I think, but the big guy was getting cheered, and then they go into the heat on the little guy, and the big guy's still getting cheered, the small guy's getting booed. It was totally psychology wise, it just didn't make any sense.
Chief, you referenced the knee injury you had just a few years ago. It seems like bigger guys are more prone to things like knees and elbows going bad on them as their career progresses, as opposed to the smaller guys. There's usually more stress as you get more size, be it taller or like more muscle mass and weight on you, it puts stress on the joints. Do you find that injuries are a little bit more prevalent with the heavyweights, guys that are your size or even more than it would be for your contemporaries that are smaller in stature?
I actually kind of think the opposite of that, for various reasons. Like myself personally, in my experience, you know, I was fairly injury-free until about 4 years ago, and I blew out one knee 1 year and another knee the next year, and separated a shoulder. But for the first, 25 years of my career, other than a couple of concussions and a couple of minor, like broken fingers and stuff, I was pretty injury-free. And as much as I hate to admit it, I attribute my injuries in recent years probably more to age than my size, you know, because I'll be 50 years old in March. So, and a lot of guys, even smaller guys, you know, you don't even see still wrestling, you know, into their 50s. So I don't think my size has contributed to my injuries as much as just maybe probably an age factor now, you know. But I think, you know, these days with so many of the flippy moves and the high spots that a lot of the smaller guys are prone to do, I actually think smaller guys are probably more prone to injury now, just because you don't see that many of the large. I mean, you had exceptions to the rule, like Vader doing moonsaults and stuff, but you really don't see the large guys doing as big a high risk move. So I actually think, you know, like look at how many times Rey Mysterio has been injured. You know, I mean. I think it's more your wrestling style probably than your size. You know, if you wrestle smart, you know, like after I've cut a lot of moves out of my repertoire that people associated with me for decades, you know, after my knee injuries, because it's just, they're not moves that I want to risk doing now, you know, but, you kind of have to, temper your style to what works for you. But I definitely think those smaller guys that do the high risk moves now probably are going to, you know, generally have a shorter career than a larger guy who actually works like a large guy. Because face it, if you're a large guy, you know, really you shouldn't be taking a lot of the bumps, and you're probably not going to be, you know, but most of the time you're wrestling small guys that are a lot smaller than you. If you're a power wrestler, especially like most of the large guys are, you know, the smaller guys are going to be taking all the bumps. You know, you really shouldn't be taking that many unless you're in there against another larger guy.
Right. Exactly.
Stomp and Steve, agree with Chief's assessment that the injuries a little bit more prevalent with the smaller guys than with the heavyweights?
Right. I would agree wholeheartedly. I mean, the only thing, you know, like it was just things like little things that they do to me, like I kick my legs a lot, you know, for the match, and even from that, even though, you know, we're it's wrestling, we, you know, I'll feel my left leg cramp up while I'm sitting in certain places, and that's the one that's attacked most of the time, you know, like little things like that. And but overall, yes, I would say the smaller guys, the ones that do a lot of flippy moves, they're far more injury prone.
You know,
overall.
Steve brought up a good point on the legs, because, you know, and psychology-wise, that makes sense for the smaller guy to work our legs and get us off our feet. Everybody's the same size on the mat, you know, they'll add.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And that happened to me a lot over the years. And after I blew out both my knees, you know, 2 years in a row back-to-back, people still want to work my legs, which makes sense. But, you know, I'm always a little leery. You know, I've got to trust the guy, you know, because now my legs, you know, I wear those braces on both my legs now when I wrestle under my pads. And I'm more prone, especially to my right knee, just popping out sometimes in matches. So luckily, you know, they work the left leg usually. So, you know, but that leg, you know, that knee has problems too. They've both been blown out. So, you know, yeah, it does. You know, some guys will crank a hold on me. And even if some guy cranks a figure four on me, you know, and they're not putting a lot of pressure on, my legs are so thick. I have really short, stumpy, thick legs. When they wrap that figure four on, there's pressure no matter what. It's going to put pressure on my knees just because my legs are so large, you know. So it does take its toll.
And for the young wrestlers out there, left makes the L when you go to work someone's leg.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yep.
Some people get confused.
Yes, they do. There was a guy I wrestled years ago, and I actually used to, and he always worked legs, worked figure four, and he was green, but he'd always want to grab the wrong one. So I actually used to put a little piece of tape on the bottom of my boot so he could see the piece of tape and know that's the leg to grab.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I just put it on the flat on the sole of my boot and grab my feet. Oh, well, no, that one, this one doesn't have the tape. I better grab the other one.
I may have mentioned the left makes the L to a few people in matches during instructions just because they felt they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Chief,
it's fine.
Going
always
both
going
directions.
Above and beyond the call of duty.
Well, sometimes someone's got to save the match. Chief, going both directions in your career, what's been the biggest size difference, like you versus the smallest guy that you've ever come across, and you on the flip side having to face someone bigger than you?
Well, it wasn't that often that I wrestled somebody bigger than me, but it has happened. And generally, a lot of times, promoters try to pair me up with a larger guy, which I actually prefer working in another smaller guy, especially if I'm a heel, because then you got the Davey versus Goliath thing, and, you know, I can use a lot of my power moves, where if you're in there with another guy your size, you're probably, you know, if you saw me with Stomp and Steve, we're probably not going to be bombing each other's stuff, you know what I mean? But I think it could be a more interesting match with a smaller guy, but the smaller guy I ever wrestled was probably 130, 135, and then the largest guy I wrestled would be my current tag team partner, Tiny Love, which is interesting, you know, we're the UIWA Tag Team Champions right now. We're the totem pole of love. But Tiny is nearly 500 pounds and 6'6". And I think he's around about 483 or something like that right now. But he's probably the largest I've been in there with, him or Rosie. But he's larger than Rosie, actually. You know, before we tagged, we feuded in Michigan and Wisconsin, and so I would say he's probably the largest. And it's interesting now because on our tag team, like whenever I was on a tag team in the past, I've always been the large power man on the tag team. I'm actually the small speedy guy on the tag team in this instance, so it's kind of fun for me because I get to do something a little different.
Stomp and Steve, what about you? The biggest size differences going both ways?
Actually, probably Bobby Black would be my smallest guy, but I haven't had one-on-one with him. It was more tag team action, or as three-on-three. And then the biggest guy was, of course, Osiris. I'm a little bit taller than him, but yet he's much stronger than I am, and much, you know, he weighs more than I do. So he picked me up in ways that, you know, I've never been picked up before. You know, he gave me a Death Valley driver, and, you know, I've never felt anybody do that to me before. But that was close to 3 years ago.
If anyone's going to give you a Death Valley driver.
Yes. He dispatched of me.
I see Rosie, you know, who was former WWE Tag Team Champion, he's probably maybe the second largest guy. I think he ran a little over four, but that I wrestled. But yeah, he definitely manhandled me more than Tiny in terms of strength. He gave we had a cage match. We had a feud with five matches, and it culminated in a cage match. And he actually gave me a Samoan drop off the top of the cage.
Yeah, we don't feel that very often.
Yeah, and then that's probably the most I've ever been manhandled ever in a match.
Now, Big John Wall, he's one that, I mean, Big John's about 6'3 or 6'4, and he gave me three Vader bombs in the corner. And that's where I didn't protect my hand enough, and I bent my finger back, and it was like that for probably, it had what you call, I'm trying to figure out what the name of it is now. There's a name for it. Anyway, my finger was bent in a weird position for about 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's doing fine, but that's what happens when you don't protect yourself properly.
Yep.
And Big John Wall, aptly named because he's a big man.
Oh, absolutely.
Although not as big as he used to be.
No, but John's went up and down, too. I mean, he's
he's fought and gotten better shape, and you know, he's doing pretty good right now from what I hear. I haven't seen him lately, but
Chief, you talked about Rosie manhandling you. What goes through your mind when almost every match in your career you're the larger guy and you're doing the power moves, and then all of a sudden the moves you're used to giving the smaller guys are being done to you?
You know, I like it because it's something different for me to do, so it's not the same old thing over and over. So I like being in those situations, but it's kind of funny because where was it? It was Willie Richardson in Chicago. He runs about 290, and he's a big, strong guy. I don't know if you probably know who Willie is, but we had a really good match a few months ago, and he actually body slammed me in the match. And body slam is such a basic move, but that was the first time, and I had to think about it. And I told him in the back, I said, "You know, that's the first time in 2 years that I've taken a body slam. It just doesn't happen that often. You know, most of the guys wrestlers are so much smaller. So, I mean, even a basic move like that, that everybody else is used to taking every night, you know, which it was no problem taking it because I take bumps all the time. But just even posting for the slam and just like, you know, I actually, when it happened, I had to think about it real quick because some of that stuff that should be second nature just isn't when you don't do it that often, you know, even though it's basics for most wrestlers.
Definitely different taking it and giving it, so.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was body slammed. It's been so long. You know, I can't,
yeah.
You know, I have a shorter career, a much, much shorter career than he does, but so I can't remember the last time.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen to us that often, does it?
No.
Can you actually remember who did body slam you, Stompin' Steve?
Good question. Well, I know, I think that might have been Osiris as well. I could be mistaken, but I think he did.
Well, if anyone's going to pick you up for a slam, I could see it being Osiris.
Absolutely. I can see him picking up just about anybody as strong as he is. I mean, he's even stronger than he looks, too. So, not that he doesn't look strong, but he's not got the big, huge muscles, but he feels like when he picks you up, he sure feels like he does.
Hey, you know, Sign Guy, back to your earlier question about injuries, you know, I don't think you consider yourself a large man in wrestling, do you? And I think you've had quite a few injuries in your career.
I wouldn't be the largest man in most matches. I look at it more, the few injuries I've had have been more significant, so people kind
right.
of associate myself with being more injured than I am. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, when I get them,
yeah.
sometimes they're kind of significant.
Yeah, because I've known you like 6 years or so, maybe seven. You've had a few significant injuries just in the time that I've known you, actually.
And one of his worst ones was in the building with me the same night. And no, I didn't do it.
Was that over in Ohio or Indiana or somewhere over there?
That was Indiana in November a couple years
ago. Yeah.
Yeah, he had Battle Royal, went out on his face. Not good.
To be fair, I did try to finish the show.
Yeah, you wanted to finish it. Right on the gurney, you were wanting to finish it.
I was in the hospital trying to get a ride back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't doubt that at all.
Well, you had a referee match coming up, and you didn't get to referee it. You know, it's one of your favorite, female wrestlers.
I was in six segments on the schedule, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly how many there were, but I just knew that the first segment, that's when it happened, so.
Well, Rogue Fireman gets you every time.
Rogue Fireman, yeah.
Now, Chief, I know that you have not crossed paths with Stompin' Steve before, but Stomping Steve making his career just a few years ago. He held championships. He's currently in the PWI 500. When you see a guy that's young in the business like Stomping Steve and he's got this much natural size to him, what are some of the things you would advise him to be able to do to prolong his career and to be able to successfully be a professional wrestler as a heavyweight?
Well, it sounds like, you know, he's doing the right things. Like, you know, it's the problem with a lot of big guys these days. They don't know how to be a big man, and it sounds like he has that down, you know, which is the most important thing, because if you go out there and bump your ass off for a bunch of little guys, then, you know, that's not going to – you know, I think that, you know, that's part of the problem, which isn't Big Show's fault, but in WWE, you know, he's been bumped around by so many of the little guys because
right.
That's what they told him to do, but – It killed his mystique in terms of, like, what Andre had, you know. But you didn't see Andre get manhandled that often. If you did at all, it was by
a
larger guy. You know?
I noticed that a lot with the larger men in WWE. They bump a lot more than most of the guys do that are bigger men on the independent level. I mean, you know, you got people like just Wade Barrett. That guy's 6'6", close to it, and he's bumping all over the place, you know, against smaller guys. You know,
I'm sure they're told to do that, but the WWE's killing their own stars that way in terms of like
right.
Big Show. You know, I mean, when he first started, you know, WCW actually kind of used him properly in the beginning, and it's somewhat like the next Andre. But then towards the end, they didn't when he was there, and then he went to WWE, and WWE totally. I mean, they had him bumping all over. They did the same thing to Vader. Look at Vader and WCW, and then you look at his WWE run. They had him bumping all over for Shawn Michaels, you know. And that's a lot of what Vader never became the star in WWE that he was in WCW or Japan, but that's totally the reason why, because he didn't have that mystique anymore. They just, you know, they made him into just a larger wrestler, you know, instead of this monster, you know, heel that he had been everywhere else. And that's one thing that will kill a big guy, I think, especially on the indie scene. You know, if you go out there and you're I got on a guy a while back because it was a couple of years ago, when I was still running shows, and he was on my show, and 135-pound guy gave him a clothesline, and this guy was a little over 300 pounds, and he bumped off of it. And I'm like, you know, why would you bump off that? You know, you're over twice his body weight. Why would you bump off his clothesline?
Yeah,
you know, it just doesn't make sense. But yeah, there's a lot of big guys that just don't know how to be big guys. And I think a lot of the big guys on the indies nowadays see what they that are getting into the business new. They see what they see in WWE, and they see big guys bumping, and they think that's what they should do. But traditionally, that's not what you should do. You know,
right?
Unless you're in there with another larger man, then you know, then that's what you're going to see the two monsters do. You know, like when you see like Hogan and Sid Vicious or something, you know. Well, that's what you're going to see, those two guys bumping each other, and that's the whole mystique of it. You see these guys that the little guys can't hardly take off their feet, and then when you finally see these two large guys put in there together, you know you're going to see both of them take stuff that you don't normally see them take.
Right. I've always thought that when I go down like that, when I bump it, it should mean something. It should be a bigger deal. It shouldn't be just something that's routine and happens all the time.
Right. Yeah, if a guy's little and, you know, like in that a tag team title defense that Tiny and I just had recently, we took on these two smaller guys, you know, and I think one was 180 and the other one was like 230, you know, and the 180-pound guy like hit me with two drop kicks. I didn't bump off of him. I staggered backwards, you know, and then when he came in for a third one, you know, I caught him with my sit-out choke bomb. But you got a 180-pound guy and a 335-pound guy, you know, even him drop kicking you, unless he catches you surprisingly or it's after you're already very weakened from something else, you know, it really shouldn't take you off your feet.
Now, Stomping Steve, when you were training, obviously your trainers weren't as big as you. Cousin Cooter, fairly good-sized man, but he's not necessarily always the largest guy on a show, even. Do you think that your trainers were able to impart to you what you needed to do as a big man in wrestling as far as the training, or do you think that being smaller, it was harder for them to teach you off the bat how to work
style? I think a little bit of both, actually, because I can't really expect them to know how big. They were really good. I mean, I learned from both of them things that, you know, there's one, I could learn things from Damien I couldn't learn from Cooter, and I could learn things from Cooter that I didn't learn from Damien. So it's good to have, you know, the more trainers, it's the better a lot of times. I mean, you don't want to get way too many, but, you know, like now I still need more training. Of course, always need more training. But, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe if I was trained by a bigger man, I might learn a lot more. Not that I didn't learn a lot with them, but yeah, it may be difficult for somebody who's smaller to teach somebody who's bigger to, you know the psychology and all.
Chief, what about you? I know Dale Pierce, not as big now as he once was, but he was a bigger man when you first come across him and you were training with him, and I know you had previous training to that too, but do you think that a bigger guy was more of help to you when you first started out in the business as a trainer, or do you think that regardless of the size, you could have been trained and come out with a similar style to what you did?
Well, my initial training was with Irish Terry Gunn out of, he worked for NWA Central States out of Kansas City, and he was 270, so he was a fairly large guy. He taught me all the basics. Dale was never a large guy, but when I went out to Arizona, Dale did teach me a lot of the psychology. He didn't really teach me any of the physical part of wrestling, but he taught me the facial expressions. He taught me more psychology in terms of working a crowd. But he did help me in terms of being a big man. Then when I came back to the Midwest, after that, I went back and forth between here and Arizona a lot. But when I came back to the Midwest, I finished off training with Ox Baker. And Ox Baker probably helped me the most in terms of being a big man. And he was a big man himself. He was bigger than me, actually. So he was not in his prime at that point. Ox was probably 50 or so. But at the end of his physically wrestling career, he was still wrestling a bit, managing. But you know, Ox was probably my weight, but actually taller than me by a couple of inches. So I think he was like 6'4". So Ox probably helped me the most, because I know Ox got on me early on about, and I was only about 280 at that point. So Ox was actually bigger than me. But even guys back then that were like 220, he's like, don't bump off their clothes on, you know. And I was doing that a little bit in the beginning, and so I probably attribute a lot of the big man psychology I got from Ox Baker, who was another big man. So that what Steve said is probably right. I'm sure he's doing fine, and he's picked up a lot of stuff along the way, and from other people he talks to too in locker rooms and such. But I think probably having a large man train you, at least the psychology of being a large man, probably makes more sense, because a small man is going to be looking at the match from a completely different standpoint. I've watched, I helped train in CW in Iowa a few years ago, and I remember the trainer, and he was only like 220, and he had a guy in there who was well over 300 pounds, and he wanted him to, and the guy was only probably like 5'10 and 300 pounds plus, and he wanted him to be like doing the flying head scissors out of the corner and everything he was teaching the smaller guys. He was basically teaching the smaller guys the moves that he did. But he's trying to teach the big guy this too, and he couldn't do it, obviously. And it's like, a big guy would not do that move, you know? It's like, that's not what he's going to do, you know? So I think there can be, you know, an advantage to a larger guy training a larger guy.
Stump and Steve, have you ever given Bobby Black a flying head scissors out of the corner?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I would pay to see it, even if I'm in the match.
Wow. Well, I think a lot of people would if they knew that was going to happen, if it actually was able to execute.
Well, when you do that, Steve, you make sure you get that on get that recorded and put that up on YouTube so I can see that. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well, at this point, my co-host QT standing by, so does help you both as I pass things to QT for a while.
Sure.
Well, yep. Thank you, Sunday. Hello, Chief. Hello, Stump and Steve.
Hello.
Hey, QT.
You know, Sunday mentioned a couple of the big people that were in wrestling right when the show was beginning, like the Maguires, and I'd like to add King Kong Bundy and Bam Bam Bigelow, two of my favorites. Yes.
Right.
Now, Chief, do you remember King Kong Bundy on Married with Children?
Yes, I do. I actually remember Bundy back in Texas, which, you know, dates me, when he actually had hair.
Oh, wow. When he had hair, huh?
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, if you remember his feud in probably, was it 81 maybe with Fritz Von Erich? And he actually had hair back then.
Wow,
gave him a completely different look.
I'll have to look that up, yes. Well, you know, Chief, the first person that seemed to me to be larger than life and just a huge man that made the first impression on me that I can remember on Wide World of Sports was Russian weightlifter Vasily Alexeyev. Do you remember the super heavyweight weightlifter from Russia?
Yes, I do.
Stump and Steve, have you ever seen a video of Vasily Alexeyev, the first man to clean and jerk 500 pounds?
Actually, I don't think I have. Maybe I have and I can't quite remember it, but I don't think so.
I don't think Steve was around back in the 70s, though, you know, so he probably, probably doesn't remember that.
Okay, yes, that's okay, that's true. That's your Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment to look up Vasily Alexeyev of Russia.
Okay.
I think he won the gold medal in 72. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, I was back in the days of Wide World of Sports on ABC. That was actually a great show. They used to have all the strongmen competition and different things on there.
Yes,
I always enjoyed watching that myself.
Yes. Well, now, Chief, I remember back, well, it wasn't quite so long ago, but the late 70s. Now, Earl Campbell and Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare, seemed to be very big-sized running backs. And I think Earl Campbell only topped out at 5'10", but he was right around 235 to 240. And his legs were monstrous. I think his thighs measured 34 inches. He was kind of like a bowling ball. Do you remember Christian Okoye for the Kansas City Chiefs and Earl Campbell?
Yeah, I remember. I know the names, and I remember them vaguely, but I don't think I watched them. I don't think I saw them play a whole lot.
Okay. Well, you know, Christian Okoye was about, I think he may have been 2 inches taller than Earl Campbell. Earl was kind of built like a bowling ball or a fire plug, a very powerful man, but he certainly wasn't near 6 foot tall. Now, that brings me to the evolution of people getting bigger in sports and as the decades go on.
Definitely.
I remember before Vasily Alexeyev, another man that kind of broke the prototype of the football player was Dick Butkus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dick Butkus was 6'4 and 250, and I remember a write-up in Sports Illustrated saying, "The sun rises and sets with this man. This man is huge, and it's surprising that he plays middle linebacker." Now, well, now you got take Dick Butkus's thighs, 6'4", 250. You got high school football players that average that on the line, offensive line.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, in all sports, I mean, just in in general, in the evolution of man, I mean, people have gotten larger. You know, we're definitely, you know, breeding larger athletes, that's for sure.
Yes,
absolutely.
Do you remember a player, Ed Too Tall Jones, that topped out at 6'8 or 6'9?
Yes, I remember. I remember Ed, yeah.
I remember him, yeah.
Well, you see, Chief, although he was around, he was probably closer to 6'8, maybe 6'9 in his football cleats, but he didn't have much fat on him. In fact, he contributed the success of his movement along the line to ballet. I heard that he took ballet lessons.
Another man that played football and wrestled and was fairly tall, but I would say later on in wrestling, later on in his later years, he probably put on a little weight, but he was pretty lean too. Would have been Big Cat Ernie Ladd.
Yes, Big Cat Ernie Ladd was another throwback. He played football in the 60s.
Right, and he was like 6'8", too, wasn't he? I think Ernie was, and he was actually fairly lean. And then, in his later years, he put on a little weight, but he was never, what you would call a fat, man. He was just a big man.
Okay, I'm going to lump a Big Cat Ernie Ladd along with Dick Butkus, players that played in the 60s and early 70s that were larger than life. And now you fast forward to 1989. The Green Bay Packers selected Tony Mandarich as their number one pick. I think he went number two overall. This player was kind of purported in Sports Illustrated as being the man that's going to revolutionize the offensive line. Tony went 6'6", 307.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he wasn't too fat at all. He was into weightlifting, and he was going to revolutionize the line. Well, now you fast forward 89, 99, 09, about 22 years later, and now you got high school kids going 6'6", 307.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you see a time, Stompin' Steve, let's say about 10 to 20 years now, where you'll see a 350-pound high school athlete playing football?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think you see them already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, certain places. I mean, it's not everywhere, but it's you see them.
Yeah, there's definitely some already out there. I've actually seen them myself.
On a regular basis, here in Iowa. Right.
Wow. I have yet to see a 340, 350-pound lineman in high school. I'll take a look out for them.
There's some out there. There may not be a high percentage, but it's they're there.
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of isn't in the best of shape either, but he's actually on the team, so
Yeah.
Now I know that you regularly see kids 6'9" and 6'10" playing basketball in high school. An example of this in the Northwest was Kevin Love, who played for Lake Oswego here in Oregon. He's 6'10".
Yeah, they just keep getting taller and taller. I mean, on average, you look back 20, 30 years, and the heights, the average heights, and the tallest, and how many there were, and there's more now, And part of it's, it's just, I don't know, just the process, and part of it's like recruiting. Still high school basically, but college, there's more broad way of recruiting people now than there used to be. There's more ways of going about it.
QT, there's a wrestler that was a big man in wrestling that unfortunately is probably pretty forgotten now. He died at a fairly young age, but you, I'm sure, know who he is. He was a great amateur wrestler, and he was probably only in pro wrestling for maybe 3 or 4 years, I think. And then he passed away, I think, maybe at 27 or 29. But do you remember Chris Taylor?
Chris Taylor, yes, 1972 bronze medal winner.
Yeah, and then he actually went to college here in Ames in Iowa. He wrestled for Bob Geigel out of the Central States for about 3 or 4 years, and he quit wrestling, and then I think within a year or two after that's when he passed away. But he wasn't very tall. I remember seeing Chris back in the day. I think Chris is only like 5'10", but he was every bit of probably 380, 400 pounds. Huge, huge man, but actually could move okay, you know, and was a great amateur and then wrestled pro for a very short time. Which, like I said, I think mostly his pro career was limited to the Central States, NWA Central States area for the most part, and probably a largely forgotten big man in wrestling, but one who I thought at the time was very good.
Yes, and I'd like to ask, when you mentioned Chris Taylor, that also brought up someone that had success on our Olympic team. Stump and Steve, do you remember a couple years ago, Rulon Garner?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he, let me see now, Rulon Garner. He went up against the great Russian Alex Karelin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay, there's
yeah.
another person that's, I guess you could categorize him as a super big person, Rulon Garner, because he
mm-hmm.
weighed near 300. Well, I think it was about 310 or 305.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I think he topped 300 just barely, but he topped it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask Chief Atakula if he remembers after the Olympics, Rulon Garner got caught in a Wyoming snowstorm overnight when his snowmobile failed, and he lost a couple toes to frostbite.
Yeah, I forgot about that until you just brought that up, but yeah, I totally remember that. Do you know what he's doing now? I mean, where he's at in life now? It's kind of got my interest.
I think he did some consulting or part-time coaching for a university team.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I'll have to confirm that, but I think he did get into coaching a little bit, yes.
Because he was out of North or South Dakota, wasn't he?
No, I think it was Wyoming.
Was it Wyoming? Okay, I know somewhere over in that area.
Yeah.
That area seems to, Wyoming, North, South Dakota area seems to produce people like him and Brock Lesnar and recently for some reason.
Yes, that's true. Yes, they do. The farm boys seem to grow up pretty good. You know, they got
yeah.
all that fresh milk and meat. Yes.
Yeah, and they're up there throwing bales of hay around and stuff like that. They probably don't need to work out too much.
Yes, Rulon Garner certainly threw a lot of hay bales, yes. But, you know, Stomp and Steve, I was talking about the evolution of, like, Earl Campbell and Christian Okoye to someone like Tony Mandarich, 6'6", 307, now the high schoolers are that big. What has struck me also, like I've seen Serena and Venus Williams and Florence Griffin Joyner back in the late 80s, the evolution of girls getting bigger. I mean, you've got high school girls now like going out for volleyball, you know, that are easily 5'9", 5'10", and 140 pounds, and they're not fat.
Right. Yeah, the girls get taller, too. I mean, it's like I've seen 6'1". I mean, occasionally even taller. So it's just, it's the way things.
Now, how big do you think ODB is?
How big?
Yes. Yes.
In terms of height, I actually know her really well. I work on a lot of shows with her. She's from my area up here. She's from Minnesota. I'm down here in Iowa, but she's not tall. She's actually very short. She's a little stockier and a little top heavy. So
mm-hmm.
I think Jesse, but she told me, I think she runs around 160, but she's not tall at all. She's probably 5'4", maybe.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yeah,
what do you think would happen if QT Votes gave ODB a clothesline or attempted clothesline?
I don't think you'd be in trouble afterwards.
Yeah,
that'd be the last time you gave her one.
Come on!
I think you
overestimate my powers. Yes.
I think she would probably light you up with some chops. I think you'd probably go home with a pretty sore chest after that.
Yeah.
Well, you might be fairly right on that assessment. Okay. All right. Well, Stomp and Steve, knowing that the wear and tear might be taking a toll, actually it takes a toll on everyone as they age, do you have any plans to take up yoga?
You know, I've actually thought about, you know, I've got some videos of DDP yoga, and it's very good for flexibility, and that's something really I need, and that's really something I need to get into. So that I think that may help a lot with in the ring where I'm kind of like the lumbering Frankenstein, and I think I need to get a little bit more out of that range the best I can. I think maybe that would help.
Now, I know that you've been working very hard on your diet. Can you pursue a day? I know you've upped your raw vegetables and fruits, haven't you?
Yeah, my diet is not like something I would want to advise anybody to have because I eat differently because the way I get extremely hungry, so I would rather eat a smaller meal and then eat a huge meal later in the day and add up the calories. That's just the way I eat, you know, and that's some people that say you should eat five times a day because your metabolism, and that's all fine and good for them, but I've tried that, and I'm just so hungry all the time even when I do that. So me, I watch the calories lately. Watch the carbs a little bit, but like I would rather eat small in the morning hours or after I get up. My days are different than other people's way they're structured, but I would rather eat small than go large in the evening. You know,
that's kind of what my wife and I do. We do too. Like we eat very light breakfast, very light lunch, and we save all of our calories for the evening too because we try to limit ourselves so many calories a day. And then we save them for the night meal, and we like to have a big night meal, you know. So the more we eat during the day, then we can eat at that big meal. So we kind of eat lightly throughout the day, you know.
Yeah, that's very close to what I'm doing. So yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked good for me in the past, so worked well.
How close to bedtime will you make your meals, Chief?
Oh, it's. It really varies on our schedule. We can eat anywhere from 5 to 8 o'clock. You know, it kind of. I everything I do is self-employment stuff. So my schedule. I have actually probably 4 different jobs I do. So everything is kind of structured around my schedule. So that can vary. But I stay up very late. I've always been a guy that never needed much sleep. I only sleep about 4 hours a night. I generally go to bed probably about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I get up at, I go anywhere between 1 and 2, and I get up at 5:30 every morning.
Holy smokes, wow.
So yeah,
okay.
I generally sleep about 4 hours every night.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, mine varies. I mean, I may get like, I don't know, it depends. I get maybe 6 sometimes. I mean, what I do is, I work second now. I'm usually 2:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. I just changed a few weeks ago. I was on night shift for a couple of years. You know, I go to sleep maybe 5 to 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I'll get up at noon and then get ready to go to work and stuff, and then go to work, and then I'll eat something before work, before 2 o'clock, and then I may, depending on what we have at our workplace cafeteria in the evening at 7 o'clock, more often than not, I don't have anything there, and I'll just wait till I get home. But like on like Thursdays, I'll have a taco salad or something. They have them Thursdays, but most of the time, I'll eat before I go to work, and then I don't eat until I get home. Then that's where I'll put my calories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But on the weekend, you know, I'll have like a big meal for Mexican dinner or something. You know, I'll have my little cheat day, you know. But I still watch the calories, and I'm controlled with it. I'm still controlled. So.
Wow, okay, all right. You know, Stump and Steve, that kind of sounds like when the battle groups for the Navy are out at sea. On an aircraft carrier, you'll have about 52 to 5,800 men, and they're supposed to serve right around close to 18,000 meals a day. Sometimes if they sail with a Marine contingent, they'll be closer to 6,000 men. But these people, a lot of times they have to eat their meals very quick, and a lot of times they don't take the time to enjoy their meals. A lot of times it's a quick cup of coffee, maybe a couple pancakes, and then they'll rush off to the flight deck to do flight ops. how important to you is it to enjoy your meals and slowly digest your food, especially now that you're getting into your late mid-30s?
Well, for me, that's always been an issue, okay? Because I have a tendency to think I'm in a rush every time I eat. So I have a tendency to, you know, I mean, like, when I'm, like, I've been out with friends, and, like, Lila would tell me, like, you know, hey, like, I'm an alien. I pulled out a suction hose and sucked up the food, and then they looked, and it was gone, you know. So that was always a running joke, you know, that I would eat food too fast, you know. So that's something I've got to work on. But I don't know. I still enjoy it, even though I do it fast, you know. So, yeah, it's really important to slow down, chew your food, but that's something I'm not always very good at.
Wow, all right. All right. Well, Chief, what is this paleo diet I keep hearing of? It's kind of the latest fad. Do you know what a paleo diet is?
I have no clue.
Oh, okay.
That's more of eating like the old, really the organic, the very basic. It's like the caveman diet in a way, they think. But I'm not necessarily, I know something about it because I knew people that were on it. But I don't
but
think
eating,
it's what I would want to be doing.
Eating sticks and twigs and berries and stuff?
Yeah. Well, not exactly that, but it's just, it's more, I forgot exactly what everything is regarding that, but I think it's kind of, you know, it may work for some people, but not anything I would want to do. Not on a regular basis anymore.
All right. Well, Stump and Steve, I wish you good luck with your Vasily Alexiev homework assignment. And, Chief, tell ODB I'm gunning for her. Yes.
I will. I will. Actually, I will text her and tell her that she better be watching over her shoulder, okay?
Yeah, okay. All right. And, Chief, if you also have a chance, look at the most recent Sign of the Times, the anniversary episode, episode 200. You'll be surprised.
Okay. I will check that out. It's up now, is it?
It's, yes, the Sign of the Times episode 200. Yes.
200. Okay, I will check that out right away, actually.
Just, all right, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, guys, we got just a few moments left, so I want to give each of you time to plug and promote, say anything you'd like. So, Chief, if there's anything you'd like to say and or promote, floor is all yours.
Well, actually, first weekend, I think it is, of November, I will be coming back out your direction. I'll be there the first weekend of November and December out in the Northwest. I think I got 3 shows out there in November over a 2-day period. And I just got back, actually, late Monday night from Puerto Rico from Night of Veterans there out in HSW. We got a big anniversary, 2-weekend anniversary deal coming up out there in April, so I'll be out there for 5 shows in over 11-day period in April. I think I got Wisconsin, Minnesota, Detroit coming up here in the next few weeks. But looking forward, as always, to coming back out to the Northwest. It's been a few months since I've been out there.
Stomp and Steve.
I would just like to mention HPW on October 3rd. They're having WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Valiant there. And they're having a return match at Splash Flanagan, Tether Park Trash against TJ Kemp, Too Cool TJ Kemp, and Mark Houston, and several other, Shiloh Jones, Tri-State Champ, and many others, the regulars. And I'm taking a hiatus from HPW right now. I don't know how long I'm going to be out. I'm trying to get myself in better shape. I've had issues with allergies and asthma this year, and I'm trying to get my weight down and trying to get all that under control. And I'm not sure how long I'll be out, but, you know, I plan to come back eventually, but I'm not sure when.
Well, I hope down the road somewhere, since oddly enough we've never crossed paths, I hope I end up working on a show with you sometime, Steve.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. Be an honor.
All right, well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I appreciate you guys being on the show today. And fans, get out there, support your local professional wrestling wherever you might find it. A couple of shows up here in our neck of the woods in Oregon today. So if you're in the area, get out to one of those and support. Also want to thank the fine people that ran the Piper Palooza show last night. It was a great time last night honoring the memory of the late Roddy Piper. Several promotions came together to make that happen. And we will be back with you next Friday afternoon. We have Chief Little Bear. No relation, to my knowledge, to Chief Atakulakula.
I think completely different tribe.
I thought as much. Well, fans, we'll be back with you next week, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay, thanks, Sonny.
Thanks.